as we're thinking of the Christmas story and what we talked about on Sunday, we don't want to leave out the, I guess, an important part, and that's in Matthew chapter 2 tonight. So if you can find your place there, Matthew chapter 2. We go back and we look and we see how people reacted. Mary, when she found out the news that she was going to have a child, she magnified the Lord. And she just praised him. And then there was a host of angels that praised the Lord. The shepherds, when they found out about Christ and saw him, they went and made known all the things that were taught to them or shared to them by the shepherds, or excuse me, the angels. And of course, the testimony was that this child was the Christ, was Jesus. Anna, the prophetess, she was 84 years widowed, the Bible says. I don't know how old she was, but that was how long she'd been widowed. And she, too, couldn't stop speaking about Christ. And that's what the story, Christmas story, is about, as we shared a little bit on Sunday, the end of that, is about Christ and worshiping and magnifying Jesus Christ. And in our text, in just a few moments, we're going to see that there were some men that God had laid on their heart, and I'm not sure how all that took place. We don't have a whole lot about this, except for they went seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They went seeking for the King of the Jews. And in this story, it's amazing in itself, all that took place. Again, reminds us of the two types of people in the world, in a sense. Those who seek the king and those who want to be king. And again, that's just the classification of those that are saved, are looking for the Lord, and those that are lost and don't care about the Lord. It's the same story you see over and over and over in the Bible. And you can find that theme in lots of different places as you study the Word of God. So tonight, just going to look at this for a few minutes. And really, it's that wise men still seek him. Still seek him. That is Jesus. Let's go ahead and read. I'm just going to read verse 12 tonight, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Father, we thank you again for this opportunity tonight. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for how it speaks to our hearts. We pray for Josh right now as he's in Boston. I just pray again for the surgeons and the doctors to know exactly what to do. And Father, we just pray for healing and strength in this. And we pray for these things. We pray for them in Jesus' name. So here we see wise men seek him. Now, there's a lot of things that we look at. Often we put our scenes up of the baby Jesus being born, and that's when the shepherds went The wise men weren't there, but a lot of times we put that in there. We condense the story, I guess, maybe. Try to put it all together in one little thing. Because this time when they come, the child's probably closer to 2 years old, somewhere thereabouts. He's a young child, okay? And he's not in the same place he was when they go to look for him. But it's a little bit different. And sometimes we like to say, there were three wise men. And we think, I guess the reason we come up with that is because there's three gifts. There could have been 10 wise men. There could have been 3 cases of myrrh and 5 cases. We don't know. We don't really have those things. So we know there were some men. They were wise, according to the scripture. And we know that they went to see Mary. So as we see this tonight, we just want to think about the things that the Bible teaches us and know what the truth is, because it's easy to stray from that and get a wrong sense of the things of God. And when we do that, we water down the scripture. We change it. It's no longer what it says. It's what we believe. And many times we believe that. I believe that all my life. You growing up as a kid, that there was those wise guys, those three wise guys that came to this setting, and that's not the case. But anyway, we don't know a lot about these guys. We know the Greek word for wise men is magos, and it means many different things and translated different ways. It speaks of being a sorcerer or wise man. We know that they are from the east, okay? That's clearly spelled out. It could have been that they were from the Orient. Some believe maybe astrologers or scientists because they followed a star. I don't know where you get that from either. I mean, you can think that, and you can think that way, but we know this star is special, and we know there's a reason for that. So they're Gentiles for sure. But whoever they are, God gave them a special sign. Verse 1 again says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. That word Jerusalem, that's the city of peace. And so they came here and they were led here. This wasn't just by chance, it was directed. And God was the director of this. And of course, they had a special sign. Verse 2, it says, saying, where's he that is born king of the Jews? Now, they had to know that from somewhere, somehow, whether God shared that through somebody else or whatever, but they came specifically looking for the king of the Jews. That's who they were looking for. There was no mistake about that. And it was a baby, and they knew that, or a young child. And it says, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. I wonder what that star looked like. You know, the Bible we read in 2 Peter that Jesus is the day star. He is the day star. But we can imagine a light, a special light, maybe brighter than any other light, possibly. But whatever the thing, we know that it was special. And I believe, again, that as God is leading these men today, we can take that application. God leads us. Of course, our leading comes from the Word of God. The Bible teaches us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you hold your place right here, we'll come right back to it. But go over to John chapter 1, and I'd quote it, but just in case, I don't want to mess it up. In John chapter 1, it spells that out to us again and reminds us who Jesus is. We know he is God. Most of us are very familiar with these verses. But in John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. I think of that star when I'm reading this now as I compare what these guys were looking at. They're looking at this bright light. This light is leading them. That's what, for Christians, that's what leads us, is the light. It's the light of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehendeth it not. Many people live in darkness today in this world, and they can't comprehend this light. This light that is Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, these men, they were following a bright star, a light that was leading them to the place where the king of the Jews was. That is amazing in itself. And that's what the Word of God does for us. It leads us to that bright light, Jesus Christ. As the Word is Jesus Christ, And as we study the word, it brings us to the very fact that we can see what that light's all about. It's about the King of the Jews. And so here, these folks went, and every man we know today has been shown the light. They may not understand the light. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So we're all responsible to what God shows us and what God gives us. Every one of us are. And we're going to be held accountable for those things. The wise men, they see the star. And what do? They follow that star. They are led by that star. The Bible says, "Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them," in verse 9 of Matthew. So that star was there, but it went before them. So they continued to travel to where that star was leading them. 2 Corinthians 4:6 reminds us, "For God, who commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." That light is important. Remember in the times that we were in darkness, I remember prior to salvation, I didn't understand anything about God, really. And that just reminds me of Ephesians 5:8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And it's that light that changes a person's life. It's light that converts us and makes us into different people. It's stuck in my mind too. These wise men, they're following that light. It's changed their life. They didn't stay in the east. They left, come looking for the King of the Jews. And that's what that light does for us. Matthew 6:33 teaches us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all these things unto you." As we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we seek that light. It's going to move us in the direction of what? The King of the Jews. The light. Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. In John chapter 4, verse 42, he was meeting with the woman at the well, and then he met with his disciples, and all those people came out. And someone responded to the woman, says, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying." Remember, she gave a testimony and told of what Jesus told her, of all that he knew about her. And she brought all these guys out of the town there in Samaria. He says, "Well, it's not your testimony that we're believing this." He says, "For we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." And that's what Jesus came for. That's what this story is about. For Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. He came to be that light. He came to change human beings' lives from being that which is the old nature, following the flesh and the world and the devil, to somebody who sees the light and desires to follow that light and is being transformed into this new creature. It's not something that we make up. It's not something that we put on. It's something that happens inside of a person when they accept Christ as their Savior. That light comes inside. And it starts working and starts changing us. It's amazing. So the star led these wise men to Jerusalem. They wanted to know where the King of the Jews was born. They wanted to worship Jesus. So think about this. They're coming from the east, these three wise men. I'm going to say that forever. These wise men, please don't listen to what I say, but know what I'm thinking or something. Stuck. These wise men, two wise men or five wise men, however many there were, they left and went from the east, and they desired to see the King of the Jews, and they desired to come and worship him and then turn around and give him gifts. That whole story in itself is amazing, because here they're being led by God himself to do this very thing that they're to do. And it's their purpose behind this. But we see here in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 2, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. He was agitated. And it says all of Jerusalem was too. I mean, here's the news that the King of the Jews is been born, and these guys came all the way from the east, and they want to know where he's at or where he was born. In verse 4 it says, and when he, Herod, had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. See, Herod knew who to go to find out these things about this Christ. He has an idea. He, I believe, was of a mixed race. He was part from Edom and also a Jew as well. And so he had some knowledge there. He knew that these people knew about these prophecies. And that in itself is amazing too, because when it said all of Jerusalem with him, I assume those priests were probably a little bit agitated as well. Because they liked what they were doing. They were in control of everything. They were the religious leaders of the day. And of course, they were blind. We know that. The Bible teaches us that. Even to this day, they are. But here, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So what do? They go back to the scriptures. They go back to the scriptures and tell him, well, this is what the scriptures say. In verse 5, it says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. So they knew where to go. Micah 5:2 tells us, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Think about Isaiah 9:6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He's going to rule. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So here he went to the religious group. He went to those chief priests. He went to the scribes and said, where is this going to take place? And his ulterior motive to this whole thing is to find out. So he has a plan. And his plan is, obviously, he being a king, wants to remain the king. And here he hears that now there's a king that has been born, the king of the Jews. He doesn't like this idea. And so he's trying to figure out what he's going to do about it, and he has a plan. Look at verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. What was he asking that for? He was asking that for so he could back time or date how old this child would be. So if they saw the star a year ago or whatever, if he did months or whatever days, he could go and say, okay, that must be when this king of the Jews or Jesus or this king or this baby was born. And so knowing that, that would help him figure out how old the child was. And that's important to him. And you know what also it shows us and demonstrates to us? It demonstrates to us that Herod believed. He knew something was special about Jesus. Why? If he didn't believe any of this stuff about this king and coming out of Bethlehem and was going to be a governor, if he didn't believe that, he wouldn't do anything. There'd be no use to do anything. Wouldn't bother him a bit. But he is visibly agitated, visibly upset about this, so much that he's going to the Jewish folks and finding out where this child should be born. And then he's going privately to these wise men and going, when did you see the star? So he can do the math to figure out when Jesus was born. In verse 8, he says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. So in the guise of wanting to worship him, what does he really want to do? He wants to kill him. Even a baby Jesus, From the very beginning, people wanted to kill him because of who he was and is. But also, look at this. The wise men came to Jerusalem, the city of peace, and they lost the star. They didn't have it anymore because they came asking the question, where is this, where is the king of the Jews to be born? Or where is he born at? And so Herod finds out for them and he tells them, go to Bethlehem. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to go to Bethlehem. Again, the whole story is a miraculous event when you think about it, because God's using this whole situation. God purposely sent him, or sent those men to Jerusalem to alert the king, because he didn't have to do that. We'll see that at the end of the chapter. We've already, or not end of the chapter, but verse 12. He didn't have to do that, but he did it on purpose. So they're taking off and they're going to go to Bethlehem. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And then what does it say? And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. The star took him to Jerusalem. There was a purpose behind that. And then the star, after they got the information from the King Herod to go to Bethlehem, the star again revealed itself. God revealed the star to them so they could go exactly where they need to go. And they went to where they came, where the young child was, because the star was right there. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped. Miraculous story. Now, we don't have it all, because this is all we have. And this is what God has given to us. But when I read this, I believe this is all God wants us to know and us to understand. These three wise men came from the east, traveled a far distance. We don't know how long it took them to get there. It could have been a year and a half. It could have been a year and 9 months. We have no idea, because this child is young. But we know Herod's action kind of reveals those things, because he's doing some math. But somewhere in there, that's when they've traveled a long time when they first saw the star. And they come and they go to Jerusalem, and then they're led to Bethlehem. They see the star again. They go right to this place where Jesus is. They didn't go in the room that we know of and say, where's the child? Or can you prove this is Jesus? They didn't do any of that, as far as we know. They went in, they saw Mary, and they saw this child. And as far as we know, not a word was uttered. They dropped down on their knees and worshiped. If that's not miraculous, I don't know what is. That tells me these men had something special. They had seen this star, and God had done a work in their hearts and had them go to this place for a reason. It was to worship and to reveal who the King of the Jews was. That's amazing. And so that's what they did. And the fact is that worship is important to God. Very important. It was important for these men to come and worship a child, a young child. That same child today that we serve is Jesus Christ. It's important for us to worship him. You know, the Bible teaches us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus. Everybody's going to do it. But we get to pick the time. We get to, just like the wise men were led by that light, we have the opportunity, because we have the light, the Word of God, to search out, seek out the Lord Jesus Christ, however long that takes us. It took me 36 years. And then when we find it, it's our opportunity to bend the knee and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we accept him as our Savior and become a child of God, we can do that the rest of our lives, because we will. When we see Jesus in heaven, we're going to be worshiping the Lord Jesus all the time. There'll be no light in heaven with the exception of Jesus Christ, because he is that light. That same light that that we have today is Jesus Christ. To me, the story is such an amazing story because of how it was put together, how it happened, and what was the purpose of it, and how God used different people. And then it says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's what's not said here, but what is part of their treasures was their time. They spent that year or year and a half or however long it took them to get there once they saw that star. That was what their life was dedicated to for that period of time, to go to Jesus. So that was part, that was their life for that particular time to do this. And then they gave these gifts. You know, we too have opportunities to give gifts to Jesus. We that know Christ as our Savior, as we have the opportunity to give our treasures, our time, our talents, the things that we have, it's the same thing. When we get to heaven, in Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the 24 elders, which represents the church. They're going to be giving gifts to Jesus. You know what those gifts are? Crowns at Jesus' feet. Where do those crowns come from? That time we spend on earth, worshiping and following Jesus. It's just an interesting thing when you think about how it all fits together and how it works out in this situation. But then in verse 12, it says, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own, into their own country another way. So you can see from this passage in verse 12 that God could have circumvented them going to Jerusalem at all. But that was planned. It was planned for Herod to know this. And so here in this situation, we see God's protection, not only for the wise men, because we don't know what Herod would do to them, because we already see something that he does later on we're not going to go into when he kills everybody that's 2 years old and under. But it protects the Lord Jesus Christ as well. But for me, the most important part is that the Lord Jesus Christ protects us. He's the one that will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the one that we can cast all our care upon. He's the one that knows everything that's going on in our life, and he's there to help. He's the God of all comfort. And he wants to take care of us. But we have to let him. And as we look at this passage, the key takeaway, I guess, would be to follow the light, just like these wise men did. And trust God in everything that he leads us into, because he knows all about it. And as much as I'd like to deliver everybody from all kinds of problems, whether health or financial or whatever, can't do it. I can try to help, and if God leads me to help, that's what I should do. But it's God that we need to trust to bring us through these things, because he sees the big picture. I see very little. God sees it all. This whole situation, God saw the whole situation. He said, hey, you wise men, got a plan. Let's go do this. And they did it because they trusted the Lord. And we too can. We can trust him for everything in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Lord Jesus Christ. For without him, there would be no reason to be in this place tonight. Would be no such thing as Christmas. We wouldn't need that. Call it something else, which they're trying to do. But it's a season, it's a time that we remember what you did by sending Jesus Christ, born of a woman, and the Holy Ghost, who we know today to be God himself. But he didn't just come to be born, but he came to die. He purposely came to die because I was a sinner and I need help. I should say I am a sinner. But Father, we thank you so much for what he did. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the joy that we can have knowing you, having a personal relationship, knowing that it's a miraculous event that takes place in a believer's life when they accept Christ as their Savior. Father, help each one of us as we look during this Christmas time, look to you and trust you in all things, knowing that you know what's best. Father, we just ask you to bless and guide and direct in each person's life. Thank you for what you're going to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name.